Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
When you become a parent, or even when you just start thinking about the future, everything changes. Biggest thing on your mind is making sure that no matter what happens, your family is taken care of. That's why financial security is important. If the unexpected happens, you want peace of mind knowing your loved ones won't be left scrambling. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy. 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. One of the best things is that for most people, there's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online. It's a simple process that helps provide financial security and helps protect your loved ones. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with some policies as low as $30 a month. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Then you had just the heavy-hitting game one between the Thunder and the Spurs.
This is the NBA Finals.
I'm picking the Thunder in this series.
I'm
You're picking the Spurs.
Yes.
And it needed double overtime last night.
Oh,
but
yeah.
So far, advantage Keith.
I think, yeah, advantage. Well, they go into Oklahoma City and they win a game, so that's great for them. But, I mean, if this has seven games written all over it, I mean, the Spurs were really good against them in the regular season.
They were.
You know?
They're a tough match for OKC. They did, SGA hit a shot to force overtime last night, or like a layup to force overtime last night. But overall, they did a good job on him. He didn't do much.
They did a really good job. And so this is one of those ones where we've seen a lot of these really good NBA teams with young stars, and you wonder, like, is this the year they're going to break through? The Celtics did it when they played Curry in the finals. You're like, all right, these guys are going to win the title this year, and they don't. And then the Celtics were a little bit older, and they win. The Thunder last year were young and won it. The Spurs are even younger, and you're like, all right, how much of that is even going to matter?
Well,
didn't seem like it mattered too much last night.
No, and they were shorthanded last night.
Right.
No De'Aaron Fox. They plug in Dylan Harper, and he was awesome.
Harper's nice. Yeah,
in
Harper's
that game
good.
Last night. Harper
Castle's good.
Harper had a double-double.
And then Wembanyama, we talked about this last year, and it didn't really play out the way that we thought it would. You remember when the Spurs came in to play the Celtics, and we were hyping up Wembanyama? We're like, this guy might be the best player currently in the league. He's clearly the guy you'd want to build a franchise around. You know, you would trade Tatum and Brown for him. Like, we were going like that, like high of praise. And then he either got hurt or had a bad game, or both. He got hurt.
I think he had a bad game and then, like, immediately got hurt. We're like,
Yeah. We're a little soon. But now it's his league. It's his league right now.
Never wrong, just early. Is that what you're saying about Jones and Keith?
Yeah. We were early on it, but he's almost not fair. And, like, I like Jaylen Brown's comment when he's like, I'm the best two-way player in the game. And someone's like, well, what about Wembanyama? He's like, well, best human. Yeah, but like they even players as good as Brown just acknowledge him. He's 22 years old, and you're like, this guy's not fair.
He's an actual alien.
Yeah,
41-24 last night, Keith.
So he's like Kevin Durant and Rudy Gobert somehow like combined.
Great analogy.
Thank you.
He also mixed in three blocks last night.
Yeah, of course.
He shot over 50% from the floor. SGA was brutal from the floor last night. He was plus 16. SGA was a minus 15. He hit the shot in overtime that was, I'm sorry, a lousy shot.
Yeah.
Like, lousy shot quality, but he drilled it. He's barely over half court. He takes a couple of steps in, which for him, honestly, almost gets him to the three-point line.
He could probably dunk from there.
But he launches one up, drills it, calm as could be. He dominates double OT. So, yeah, I mean,
he should have been the MVP this season, and I feel like this helps. Like,
so I think it should have been Jokic, but whatever. It shouldn't have been SGA. I agree with you on that.
Either one. Yeah. I would have had SGA probably third on my list, so it should have been one of those other two guys. But we've seen this in the history. Michael Jordan lost a MVP to Karl Malone. Then they played each other in the finals
for the Fire.
How'd that work
out? Did you see Wemby was asked about it last night?
Yeah, but he didn't go crazy.
No.
Because he had a great... He had a case for himself.
It was like an exceptionally leading... It was like a 45-second leading question trying to get him to answer, and he really didn't. Yeah,
he didn't take the cheese, but I also think, as young as he is, smart enough to realize that's one game. It's one game. You got to beat these guys three more times. Maybe if they win the Western Conference Finals, he'll say something. I think if he wins the NBA Finals, he'll have a lot on his mind.
Yeah.
But that's definitely a motivating factor.
Yeah.
As it should be. I think that's great.
I think it should be as well. And one thing I'm very confident in, maybe we already knew this since, you know, they lost to the Sixers in round one, blowing a 3-1 lead for the first time in franchise history. Then the Sixers got swept by the Knicks, who beat the Celtics a year ago. But like, even if the Celtics figured out a way to get out of the East, and I thought going into the playoffs they were clearly the best team in the East, they had no shot against these two.
Spanked.
I mean,
they would get absolutely demolished.
One game in, even if they somehow got it together and figured out a way to rally past Philly and get out of the East, they have no shot against these two.
Now, this is the early to mid-90s when you'd watch the NFC Championship game, and then you're like, that was the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Because the Super Bowl itself is going to be a 40-point blowout.
Oh, it's the Niners and the Cowboys, and whoever wins that will go whoop
they're
up on
go
the Bills.
Demolish whoever. Yeah. And they would always meet each other as like Packers, Cowboys, Niners.
Probably the Bills.
Most likely the Bills. Yeah, there's a good stretch there where it was the Bills. Yeah. Chargers took an ass whooping one year.
Stan Humphries.
Yeah, Stan the Man didn't have it that game.
No, a couple of red cheeks.
I think Steve Young threw 6 touchdowns in that game or something insane.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But yeah, no, these two teams seem like they're a cut above. And what's scary about them, too, is like, where are they going? Where are the Spurs going? Harper, Castle, Wemby, those guys they're all like have college eligibility, I think. Like they're all super young. Even the Thunder are young. And so, these two teams look like they're going to be good for a while.
So we apply that to the Celtics. Do you apply anything to the Bruins as it relates to that Game 7 last night?
I mean, that was a hard-fought series.
If the Sabres rolled over in round 2 and lost in like 5 games, gentlemen sweep, I would have been more annoyed at the Bruins.
Yeah, like the Celtics. Right, exactly.
Yeah, the Sabres were way more legit than I gave them credit for coming into the postseason.
I mean, it came right down, literally came down to the wire. So no.
And do you think the Sabres got jobbed on that quick whistle last night?
I heard the whistle.
I heard the whistle clear as day.
Job God does.
So you can say that was like inadvertent whistle or it shouldn't have been a whistle. The whistle was, you could hear that clear as day, at least on TV. I don't know about the building.
It should have been a whistle.
Fine, that's fine. But I'm just saying, you heard it.
So they got screwed because it should have been a whistle, but it technically was the right call.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I don't think they have
once you get the whistle, you can't score.
Yeah, you have a whole lot to complain about.
I mean, McDonough was trying to explain, like, somehow it could have still counted if no one touched it or whatever he said. But no, I mean, look, you could say Buffalo got jobbed. I feel a little better about the Bruins, or at least I don't feel like the Bruins, gag like the Celtics did in the same manner. Because the Sabres were representative in going out in overtime in a Game 7, I wouldn't apply that to the Bruins.
I also feel like whether it would have been Buffalo, Boston, or now Montreal, they're probably going to get pantsed by Carolina. Not that it doesn't matter. You want to advance as far as you possibly can.
Carolina's still waiting for their first loss.
Correct.
Yeah. Probably the case.
And what did we say? Montreal has won every other game so far. So, like, they're almost guaranteed to lose Game 1. Combined with Carolina has never lost. So, like, that seems like free money.
Something's got to give.
Well,
something does not have to give.
No, for Game 2 has to give.
Correct.
We'll hatch something up. We'll hatch something
up. We'll cook something up.
Yeah,
all right.
I've been real cold betting, so I'm going to need something like that.
Spurs with a double overtime win over the Thunder to take Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Tonight, Eastern Conference Finals, Knicks and Cavs from Madison Square Garden. Do you want to play guess that spread?
Yeah.
Guess that spread.
Yeah, Knicks, 4.5.
7.5.
Ooh.
7.5. Sort of a big number there.
Yeah, I think you got to go Cavs there.
Good news for basketball
Cavs
fans,
Cavs with the points. I don't think they're going to win, but that's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. Good news for
James Harden.
True. But he's good for like one really good game, I bet, and then probably fall apart, don't you think?
Yeah, and the further away from, later in the series, probably. Yeah, maybe you'll get good James Harden tonight. Yeah.
But for hoop heads out there, it's going to be every other night. Or every night, there's going to be a different game.
West, East.
Yes.
West,
yes.
East.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Good.
We didn't really do full predictions for this one. You said Thunder. I said Spurs in the West. You going Knicks in this one?
Yeah same.
Knicks how many games?
Knicks and 6?
Yeah, Knicks and 6.
Something like that.
Knicks 7. 6. 7! Yeah. All right. We have leads left.
this morning. This one from Wiggy. Wiggy, hello.
Hello and good morning. So if you're getting an opportunity, we've talked about the Celtics and what they potentially could do, whether it's Giannis, it's all this other stuff of what potentially free agents, guys that they could potentially trade for, who they need. One of the biggest questions that we have is, oh, they need a big man, somebody that can, you know, help them in the paint, could be a little bit more of a guy on the offensive end of the floor as a big man. And so if you're not able to get Giannis, I'm going to throw a name out there for you people to watch because I think that this guy could be available. It won't cost you a lot. You could probably get him and, you know, might not have to trade away a lot of pieces. And if LeBron potentially goes to Cleveland, this guy might be available. And it's Jared Allen from the Cleveland Cavaliers. If you kind of watch them, he plays. He's kind of maybe their fourth option. He averaged this year, I want to say he averaged 15 points, 9 rebounds this season. He's a big that can play inside. He's a big that would be perfect for. We've seen the Celtics love the pick and lob play there. And he's a guy that could be a good rim protector. He's a good big that can maybe help cater, learn, and develop him as, you know, kind of that veteran leader. He's been in the league for a good amount of time. He's only 27 years old. But I think the Cleveland Cavaliers, they're going to ask themselves a question after this season if they're not able to get to the Western Conference Finals, East Conference Finals, or even the NBA Finals. Do we have to, if we can't get LeBron, where are we going with this team? Because it's 4 years in a row with Donovan Mitchell that the expectations have been high and they haven't lived up to those expectations. And what's next for this team? And they have some talent. And if you're a team like the Celtics, are they looking to maybe move on from some of the pieces that they had, whether it's Jared Allen or an Evan Mobley type of player?
Yeah, I would just think that if you're able to get LeBron James for the league minimum, mm-hmm. which is what the whispers are about what he's willing to do, and you're the Cavaliers or you're whomever, you're not going to have to part with guys to make that happen.
No, you're just going to have to get him to be like, yeah, I'll take what... You know, the whatever the number is, I heard them talking about $15 million. So if you get LeBron for $15 million and he's your third option, don't you think the Cavs would love him rather than James Harden?
Yeah, but do you think LeBron's actually going to take the veteran minimum?
No.
No.
Like, have we ever seen an athlete, especially at the end, a star athlete at the end mm-hmm. of their career,
right.
say, at this point, I'm going to take less money?
No, and the veteran minimum.
What is it, like $3 million?
It's like $3 million. He won't get that. That's why I heard some people talking about he'll get, you know, he might take around 15 or 20 million. You know, which he's opting out of.
Do we even think he's going to do million. That? Like, do we think he's yes. going to leave that much money on the table?
He's opting out of $52 million. He has a player option this year
right.
for $52 million.
Can I just say he shouldn't? Why should he take less money?
No.
But he could also, like, yeah, I hear you that he's opting out of what he could have right now.
Right.
But he also maybe is doing that because he thinks he can get something comparable and go somewhere and actually win a ring again, right?
I don't know. I think that what he'll be able to do, because if we know LeBron James wants that farewell tour and he says, you know what, I'm opting out of my $52 million player option, but here's what I'm doing to make up for that money. I'm doing a full-on documentary of my last season, because we know he's in that business in the world of
what's
television.
Stopping him from doing both, you know, being in LA,
right, but
taking the $52 million and then doing a documentary about his last dance as himself.
Because in LA, and you brought this point up, Mego, his chances of getting to an NBA Finals and winning one with the Lakers, extremely low, where if he goes to the East, he's got a better chance of getting to the NBA Finals and actually winning one more. So he's like, all right, I'll take less money. I do this documentary because I'm going to make a ton of money. I have my own, production company. So he'll make all the money that he might be losing out from that player option. He'll make all that back. He goes somewhere and plays for $15, $20
million. Well, at this point in his career, what do you think is more important to him, money or winning another?
Winning.
You do?
Yeah, he's already a billionaire or close to being a billionaire. I think he might be He's really
close. So he wants to get closer when it comes to the Jordan discussion on,
that's it.
On rings.
It's the legacy that matters more than the money to
Jaylen Brown was paid more this season than LeBron has in any season in his career.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
he's
that's
the most
just
disrespected
time.
Man in the world.
Yeah, that's just the timing of the what where the market is.
I would have
is.
Thought that LeBron James would have been earning well over $50 million for years.
No. I think like when
how much money do you think the Lakers have made off of LeBron James?
Oh, a lot. I don't know what that number would be, but I'm willing to bet you it's a
well,
ton of money.
Well, she was able to sell the team for $10 billion with him on it. So
right.
I mean that's pretty good.
But yeah, I think it's more about legacy and that farewell tour. Because he's got enough money, and so it's where does he go to get one kick at the can? And if you stay in the Western Conference, it's extremely difficult, unless you end up in OKC or San Antonio. He's not going to end
I
up there.
I definitely agree with that point. I just, like, does anyone, I'm not trying to, like, beg the question here, but I'm sincerely asking, do we remember an athlete who said, I'm going to take 15% of what I could be making to go win at the end of my career. Mm. Like, who took such a pay cut. I can't think of anyone.
I mean, Greg's last deal.
I can't think of anyone. Just
I did.
Just because I want to win again.
Curtis, hometown discount well, for I mean, WEEI.
You love it. Yeah. Only here. Mm-hmm. It's the place to be.
All right, well, interesting lead. Thank you, Wiggy.
You got it, brother.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship-level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
When you become a parent or even when you just start thinking about the future, everything changes. Biggest thing on your mind is making sure that no matter what happens, your family is taken care of. That's why financial security is important. If the unexpected happens, you want peace of mind knowing your loved ones won't be left scrambling. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy. 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. One of the best things is that for most people, there's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online. It's a simple process that helps provide financial security and helps protect your loved ones. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with some policies as low as $30 a month. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download, and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Stephen A. making Jaylen Brown get all pissed and talk about him. I just can't believe you can be an athlete as good as you are and just be this dumb about what actually makes somebody happy when you're a broadcaster.
Great point by Stiz during the break. Stiz said, if you listen to the last Jaylen Twitch, or maybe it was another podcast altogether. I think it was. It was the one that was taped at the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. He's credited himself, Jaylen, for Gordon Hayward and that whole hitting the streets and making noise to make Brad Stevens change to put him back in the starting lineup. So this is JB's like ethos. Deep in, he believes you can't stay quiet. You got to get out. And you got to make things happen with your voice.
That's well, it. That's on, a, I like that.
So
that's so that's a good point.
So he thinks he's doing work here.
So he's doing work. Yes, yeah. This is him at work. He's changing the media.
Yeah.
Is he working his way off this team?
Yeah, that might be true too.
During the break, by the way, this is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, who's won the Super Bowl three times on 93.7 WEI. Please, you can give us the one way to contact us. The one way, I don't, there's so much social media and so many ways that we stream and do stuff. I can't keep track of it during the show. It drives me crazy. So the one way I love keeping in contact is on the phone. 617-779-7937. Also launch us a take grenade on the Odyssey app. Just press that microphone. Leave us a message. But Ken, before the break, we're playing the Stephen A. Smith audio and Jaylen Brown. And the one thing that I kept saying is that this to me is just highly entertaining. And I don't believe that there is anything real that is shaking the foundation of his place on the Boston Celtics. But you, Ken Laird, Inspector Ken.
Yeah.
Say that you have found something that might actually prove otherwise. And what is that?
Well, I'm a Kalshi guy, so I'm on the prediction markets. I like it. It's fun. You can do more than sports. But, pardon me, right now, Boston up to, lost my voice, up to 16%. That's up 7 percentage points on Giannis Antetokounmpo's next team. So last week they were at 9%. They've bumped up over the weekend to 16%.
Yeah.
Top. Ahead of Miami, who has dropped 5% down to 15%. Yeah, so right now,
so they're the favorite.
They're in the lead right now.
16%.
Right. Now, this is a trading site, so it's kind of like there's not necessarily a house with like gambling guys who are looking that knows something, but the public believes Boston is the favorite for Giannis. And what happened over the weekend? Nothing except JB getting on a Twitch.
The only thing I'd say Boston is maybe a more of a long shot is. Does Milwaukee want to get younger and get picks, or do they want to bring in an established guy like Jaylen Brown to kind of lead them into their next, 10 years? I just think...
Yeah, they want both. But you could get both in a three-team trade.
Three-team trade.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think it involves the Atlanta Hawks possibly, because they discussed a trade with the Atlanta Hawks, according to sources, and I can't state my sources, but I know that there was a report that came out that Atlanta and the Celtics before the trade deadline had discussed Jaylen Brown.
Well, the interesting thing is if you want to do that, because I always say, why match up an older veteran who was almost an MVP with a bunch of young guys that are still proving themselves?
Well, maybe JB goes to Atlanta, his hometown. And that's where
you're talking about. Yeah. So he doesn't go to Milwaukee.
No, might not JB go to Atlanta. Boom. Young guys go to Milwaukee.
Boom, gotcha. My bad, boys. Gotcha.
No, that's all right. But it does kind of make sense is that before the weekend, I think the Celtics were in fourth place.
Yep.
Like they were down in fourth. They were the fourth best chance of landing Giannis. And then this talk just continues to move things along. And now the only thing that's changed, as far as I know, is the running of the mouth of Jaylen Brown.
And the Knicks advanced, so maybe they dropped a little bit. People were like, the Knicks are going to run it back if they lose this series. It's not like a blow-up and go after Giannis, because that's where Giannis said he wanted to play last year was New York.
Okay.
So maybe they're out of the equation.
I got to ask this one question. Do you guys think, is there any other possible trades for Jaylen Brown if it's not for Giannis?
It's hard to find one,
It would have to be for a big man. I mean, don't you think that's obviously what they want? Yeah. You don't want to, as I said, there was an article that I read that was the best places where Jaylen Brown could get traded and who would be willing to do it. The only other one that I saw that was a comparable player was Jamal Murray with Denver. But why would you do that? Like, you want to get a big man.
So
I don't see that happening. I know that, Paul Pierce is big on Sabonis, and I don't know how you can make that happen. I love Sabonis, too.
You give up JB for Sabonis, there would be some angry people here.
But, there might be some, other parts that you could move around. I do love Sabonis. I think he would be good for this team.
The Pistons just lost. What if they wanted to flip Cade Cunningham?
Oh, jeez, I take him. Give me.
Hey, JB, see you, pal.
Later.
In a second.
Cade Cunningham has proven this postseason that he is one of the premier players in this league. Like, that guy is and it came off an injury, too, and was able to pull that off.
Or Jaylen Duren and some other pieces. I don't know. Just spitballing.
I mean, either way, let's get back to the Stephen A. audio, because I do find this interesting. So here he is, ripping into Jaylen Brown, who was ripping into Stephen A.
As a representative for the Boston Celtics and called it your favorite season. A season where Jason Tatum was on the bench for over 60 games. A season that ended with you losing the 3-1 lead. A season that ended with you getting bounced in the first round. You went on and said that was your favorite season. How do we know this is a problem? Go back and look at the headlines all over Boston. Look at what they were talking about. Look at what they were writing about. They were saying, what's up with him? What's going on? Because they didn't feel that way. And since you represent the franchise, I was simply providing a head up that it wasn't wise from somebody who is considered relatively wise to say that 24 hours after being sent home, after surrendering a 3-1 lead in the postseason for the first time in franchise history. That's what I said. I'm not going to get personal. I respect Jaylen Brown too much. I respect him. I respect his family.
Right.
I respect his family.
You always throw that in there. He already went personal. He ripped his studio. He ripped his shoes. He ripped Tatum not coming on the podcast. That's personal.
You know,
so
what?
He gets these subliminal personal shots in there.
Yeah, he does. I wish he wouldn't, right? Because
right.
he could be,
keep
be
it clean
a higher
here.
Moral.
Keep it clean. What would you below grade this belt. Round? Like if it's Stephen A. And
too many below the belts, points taken off.
Okay.
There's a couple shots below the
but
belt.
But Stephen A. probably wins.
Stephen
right?
A. does. Oh, he's killing him. He's got such a lead.
He likes it below the belt.
But he makes
what
a good point. What, like we were all saying that here, Jaylen Brown. Like
I'm a bottom feeder.
Did you not hear anything that we were saying about you? Like it's got to take a Stephen A. Smith to say it to get his attention. But, okay. I mean, heck, the local media has been saying the same stuff. And, Stephen A., thank you for rightly pointing that out.
Yep, he's not wrong. Really, everything he said so far, he's not wrong. He's not wrong at all. And you know what? It's like, and if this is driving him, Jaylen Brown, crazy, you made this. You threw gas on the fire.
Can I play one more JB cut for
this? We have 30 seconds left. Let's Stephen A. finish. Here we go.
I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I was trying to sit up there and look out by letting you know this is not a good look. It's not wise. That's all. And I would have respected Jaylen Brown more, Big Perk, Jay, had he come at y'all, had he come at everybody who said exactly what I was saying. But evidently, you understand, when you're talking about clickbait and all of that stuff, somebody told you one of the best ways to get it is to bring up my name. And that's what you did. So who's really looking
Whisper.
For clickbait? Is it me or is it you? And obviously, you would think you wouldn't need it. $304 million, NBA player. Oof. You don't need it. What you doing it for? I'll leave it at that for now.
Okay. All right. So,
dude, I like those final salvos, though. Those were
pretty
good.
Always.
But you know, the one thing about Stephen A., first of all, I told these guys this. So I've interviewed Stephen A. a few times, and I remember the first time we interviewed him was back when, I think it was 2010, when the Celtics and the Lakers were playing each other. It was the one where they went 7 games and they lost.
Yeah, right,
and he was broadcasting from this studio. Actually, the studio right now that Jackson's in.
The John Henry studio?
Yep, he was in studio. Yep, he came in here to broadcast during that. And we had just finished, our show had just finished doing this bracket of the worst sportscaster. And Stephen A. Smith won. Like, it was our listeners who called in and they picked out who ended up being the worst of all time. And when he came in, it was like 2 weeks after he just finished it. We're like, so Stephen A., I got to be straight up honest with you. We just finished a worst broadcaster bracket and you won it. And he thought it was the greatest thing ever. He was like, why do people hate me? What clips were you playing? And we played it and it was him talking about cheese doodles. And he's like, yeah, I just love cheese doodles. I can't hold it.
So you're compromised. So Stephen A. was nice to you, and now you're going to defend him over JB.
He wanted
to get into the heart of this.
JJ Watt did the same thing to
Stephen
me.
Stephen A. came in studio with me.
I'm kind of a sucker for it. You can buy me over by saying nice things
so
to me.
So true.
But he wanted a trophy. He wanted us to make a trophy and send it to him. The guy knows what he's doing.
I'm a bottom feeder.
He knows what he's doing.
Now, if JB comes in studio tomorrow, you'll be like, this guy's great. Yeah, he gets it. Yeah. He knows.
I've interviewed Jaylen Brown a bunch.
Jaylen Brown was the same way with him. He had a chance. He confronted Stephen A., and mm-hmm. what do you say? He cowered, right?
Yeah, outright. It was way too polite. Way too – and that's the thing is that I think that the reason that someone like Jaylen Brown would not want to go on First Take is because Jaylen Brown knows how he's going to look.
He's going to be outmatched.
Just like he did last time, he's going to cower in. He's not going to get in his face. Not everyone can be Draymond Green. Like, the one thing I'll say about Draymond Green, when he's angry, he's angry. Mm-hmm. And he continues to let it go. Unlike Jaylen Brown, I think Draymond Green sometimes says some really ridiculously dumb things. Remember when he was going after Charles Barkley recently and, like, saying that his career was better than Barkley's?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Shane Gillis said it best. You know, Draymond Green bragging about how he's won a championship many times. It is like Ringo Starr bragging about having 11 number one albums.
That's a good point. Yeah, I like that.
You know, listen, Draymond, you were an important part.
Know your role.
Yeah, you were an important part of those championships. I'm not taking that away from you. But, I mean, you also had two of the best shooters in history mm-hmm. and Kevin Durant on your team.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other part of the Stephen A. thing, so he went on for like 10 minutes, right? But there were some veiled threats in there that I have inside information on you that I haven't reported. Right, Teddy? When didn't you reference that? Like, Stephen A. was like, oh, you're lucky that I haven't gone.
Where's that audio?
This other stuff. I think that's the better
Stiz,
clip.
Stiz, you got it? You got it, Stiz?
Give me a sec. Yeah, we'll get it.
Okay. I think this is it here. He's like, be careful
because
what you wish for.
He's done
Yes.
He's done that before to who is he talking about? There was another thing that Stephen A. Smith had. He's like, you don't want me to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is. Yeah. This is the part that makes me a little uncomfortable.
Right.
All right. You got it, Stiz?
Okay. Over the line.
Let's go, Stiz.
In the end, Jaylen Brown, be careful what you wish for. You really want me to start reporting on that level? You understand? Locker room? How the organization might think about you, how the city may feel about you, how Jason Tatum may or may not have feel about you, sneaker deals, endorsement deals, the list goes on and on. The season is over, bro. You on Twitch trying to do what I do and talking about me needing to step away. It makes no sense. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm simply making the point that it is not wise, after 24 hours of having your season over in the first round, for you to be coming out talking about that's your favorite season. It ain't the smartest thing in the world to do.
Now, not disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean,
that is as low of a blow as you can get.
I mean, you're saying without saying, you know, hey, you don't want to know what the organization thinks of you. You don't want to know what Jason Tatum thinks of you. It's like, well, when you say it like that, it's like you know something, but you're not like. So now I think.
State your source.
I think he went over the line on that.
Totally.
On those remarks.
Thank you, Ted.
You know what he did?
I don't know, man.
He did a to be continued.
Okay.
He knew that that was going to be the one sentence that was going to get Jaylen Brown to talk again about him.
Because Jaylen
Brown's going to come out and say, oh, yeah, if you think everybody hates me, tell me what they're saying. You won't do that because you're a coward.
Mm-hmm.
That's because Stephen A. Smith is good at his job.
No, he's not good.
He crossed the line. Crossed the line.
He didn't cross the line.
Totally.
Because he didn't say, because it's nothing he hadn't said before. He already said that. He said that. That's what got him angry in the first place, the state your source thing, is that there's some people who don't like him.
Mm. In the organization.
In the organization.
Yeah. So, and Jason Tatum.
Don't like it.
Yeah. Jason Tatum.
He's coming at the city.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Portnoy is largely right. The city still loves JB. They still appreciate JB. They still want this to work out with the two Jays. I know Terp, when he comes in at 320, is going to be all about running it back. He'll try to convince us all that that should happen. For me, it's not a JB question like his attitude or streaming. They just need some kind of a shakeup to force a change on the court. But I do think this is going to be swaying Brad. Like, oh, boy, now we have kind of a situation developing.
You're the Celtics, a proud organization. Can you, I mean, look, they try to project a certain image, and they can't like JB doing this. Like, they can't be like.
They probably wish he'd shut up, but do they also understand that this is where we live now, where everybody's got their own stream, everybody's got their own podcast. In the end, it's really not any awful stuff that he's saying. The only thing that I would be a little concerned about are the veiled shots at Jason Tatum. That's it. That's the ones that would make my ears perk up. Mm-hmm. You rip on Stephen A. all you want. Because that, you know what, to be quite honest, I would almost think that breeds an us against them type mentality. And like, oh, we're going to rally around our guy. But
of all the things, the one person you probably, they don't want you going after is Jason Tatum.
What if JT just don't like being somewhere in an uncontrolled environment?
That's
what he's trying to say.
Well, that's fine. That's true. Everybody knows that.
The more I hear that, the more
but imagine saying that your boy's house, like your co-star player, is an hostile environment, uncontrolled environment. Well, that's wild.
Well. So one final clip. This is only 10 seconds. This is JB talking about why he felt the need to respond.
But when you start bringing this other stuff up and you don't see how that line is getting crossed, when you talk about other people's families and you talk about other people's character, and you talk about other people's personal lives, et cetera, and you cross that line and you don't think somebody gonna cross that line back.
Mm-hmm. When's he talking about families and character?
JT? That's his family. Come on his podcast.
That's his teammate.
Well, that's his basketball family.
So you know what? That's butthurt. Like, that right there is butthurt. That's him being a baby. Yeah. Like, he's not talking about your family. Listen, if Stephen A. went on there and was talking about your family, F him. Yeah, you can't do that. Well, you shouldn't do that.
He was in a good way. He says his family came up and said that they appreciate you giving them so much respect.
Yeah,
remember? That's
right.
So he was talking about his family, but in good terms.
Yeah, he wasn't talking bad about. Oh, God, now he's making stuff up. Oh, JB. Yeah.
Stephen A. crossed the line, point blank period. Jalen's right. I like him talking. I want to hear him tonight.
Who's Come saying on. This?
Round three tonight. Let's go.
He's saying this. Ken Laird. Yes, so yeah, you. This is anybody. He's not reporting. He's
we didn't even get the Perk. Perk weighed in, too. I mean, this thing is
I got to tell you, I don't know. Perk is my favorite because when he gets on there.
It's the best.
Like, Perk says everything with such authority, even though it might be crazy what he's saying. The way he says it, the man was born to broadcast. Oh, I'm also.
Great.
Perk's also been nice to me, so I'm going to be nice to him. Like, that's like you know, kind of a sucker that
sweetheart
way.
Sweetheart of a guy. From Big Money, Texas, man. From Beaumont.
You're right.
Beaumont, nicest guys Beaumont? From Beaumont. Just,
middle of nowhere.
He's got the
east,
thickest
east
Texas accent. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. I mean, take like, okay, so Ted, you've spent time. Like,
on your
you
way
know,
to Louisiana.
I'm telling you, I spent a little time in Texas. That is as thick of a Texas accent as you can get.
It's Beaumont. A little, it's because it's kind of country, too. So yeah, it's country. It's a country part of Texas.
That, you're right. That ain't Dallas. That's not Houston. That is, you're in the sticks.
You're almost in Louisiana. So
I love how thick his accent is. It's just, he's the best.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
When you become a parent, or even when you just start thinking about the future, everything changes. Biggest thing on your mind is making sure that no matter what happens, your family is taken care of. That's why financial security is important. If the unexpected happens, you want peace of mind knowing your loved ones won't be left scrambling. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy. 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. One of the best things is that for most people, there's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online. It's a simple process that helps provide financial security and helps protect your loved ones. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with some policies as low as $30 a month. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Greg Hill. That's ethos.com/Greg Hill. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This Memorial Day weekend, I'm skipping phony sales and shopping at Bob's Discount Furniture, where I don't have to worry about missing out on great savings. Because no matter what, when I shop, Bob's has trending styles at everyday low prices, ready to ship fast, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional with over 1,700 five-star reviews. So make the most of your summer and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Knicks come all the way back last night, Keith.
Unreal.
For a 115-104 overtime win over the
pants.
Cleveland Cavaliers. Can you imagine? So I didn't bet this yesterday, but you asked me at the end of the show. You're like, what would you want? The Knicks covering 7.5 or whatever it was, or would you want the points? I'm like, don't you have to take the points with the Cavs?
Yeah.
And I'm watching
Turns
that game,
out, no.
flipping around with the Red Sox. I'm like patting myself on the back. Uh-huh. I'm like, man, I should have bet it. What a smart guy I am. All these points, they're going to win the game outright. They're going to win by 20 points.
Yeah.
And then it flips. The Knicks close on a 44-11 run where I think James Harden gave up all 44, I think. If you go back and watch, I think every single point was scored on James Harden. And
James Harren.
No D.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Really smart.
Well,
No, they don't say
boom,
that.
Boom, roasted.
They don't say that at the strip clubs in Houston.
No, but, no, no, he's well known.
But when it comes to the comeback last night, like, talk about a bad or unexpected beat. You're like, they're going to win by 20, and you wind up losing your bet in overtime?
In overtime. They get blitzed in overtime.
The Cavs just completely and totally fell apart.
That's devastating. And, you know, I feel like every year there's different series where something really dramatic happens in a game, and then you're like, man, that must be like a death blow, and then the team bounces back and wins the next game. So, like, I'm not saying the Cavs are done for the series or anything like that, but that seemed like their game to have. And then you're in New York, you steal one game there, and who knows what happens. Gives you, you know, a team. Neither team has been there, done that yet, so you're trying to figure something out against this opponent. And, you know, 7.5, decent spread. Like, clearly the Knicks, where you're looking at them, you're like, all right, they're the favorite to win this game, at least win their home games. And they had it. Like, they absolutely had it. And then the Knicks kind of just kept attacking James Harden. Jalen Brunson had a good game. And next thing you know, boom, they pull off this huge comeback win.
Dark and stormy nights. Twitch chat is right. Same thing the Knicks did to the Celtics last year.
Yeah.
In games one and two.
Dig themselves a big hole and then come flying back.
And it's interesting. My recollection, I have to go look at those box scores, but it's my recollection the Knicks actually shot a lot of threes to get back into those games last year against the Celtics.
Yeah, well, the Cavs took a lot of threes.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
The
Cavs did some, and the Celtics just kept launching last year against the Knicks. I thought the Knicks did hit threes to get back into it, but that might not be right. Last night, the Knicks only made 10, only shot 32. It was the Cavs shooting themselves out of it, taking 50 threes. Although, Sam Merrill, that one at the buzzer that Mike Breen thought was going in.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a three that could have won the game in regulation before the Knicks took him out. So, I guess my question, when it comes to the Celtics, and maybe the three-pointers are a part of this discussion too, do you wish the Celtics played more like the Knicks? And when I ask that, I would rather have Tatum and Brown than anything the Knicks have. Uh-huh. But the Knicks do have an edge to them. They're not afraid of the – like, Brunson is not afraid of the moment, the clutch moment. When they're down 20, they're not really out of a game. Like, I do feel like they have a more hard-nosed – attitude and play with more edge than the Celtics do. And there's something about their style of play. I always like the Nova Knicks when they put them together.
Yep.
They've moved some of the pieces off that team, but there's something about the way they play that I have always liked about those Knicks teams, meaning like the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I wonder if part of it too is they have a clear pecking order. Like, everybody on that team, I think, has like a role that they play. And, you know, every once in a while, you know, Towns will pop off for a big scoring game, or Bridges will, or Anunoby will, but it's like, Jalen Brunson is the guy, and he's going to score more than everybody else most nights. But everybody else kind of plays well. And, like, obviously Towns isn't, like, a great defender or anything. But, you know, they somehow make up for the fact that Brunson's, like, a little guy. And they have, like, good aggressive wings on the side. Those guys all play. The other three guys, besides Towns and Brunson, can play.
Hart, Anunoby, Bridges, all those guys play defense.
Really, really well. They can all hit the open three, but they're not, like, reliant on it. And I know they didn't. The starters didn't shoot great from three yesterday. It was more of a bench thing for them. But, yeah, I get your point. Like, I think I'd want that a little bit more, especially when you're looking at the current Celtics roster. We're all hoping it changes. But you look at the current Celtics roster, I would say Sam Hauser should pretty much just shoot three. Sam Hauser, you're Duncan Robinson. You go spot up and launch away. You're really good at it, and it stretches the defense. Everybody else, sometimes it's too much, right? Like, I think we saw it during the regular season before Tatum returned that Jaylen Brown is not as reliant on it. And so the team's numbers came down a little bit because of that. But then come playoff time, they kind of resort right back to it. And you're like, look, I don't know. Like, and because everybody will throw, well, they want a title, they want a title, they want a title. Like, okay. But they've also played like this for a while, and they have fallen short more often than they've won the title. So I think you should be open-minded about a little bit change of philosophy.
Yeah, the Celtics, at least at the top, I didn't love their roster as much as a lot of people last year, but at the top, Tatum and Brown, I mean, again, I'd take that over anything New York has. So I would say the Celtics have more talent than New York. So why is New York back in the Eastern Conference Final, where the Celtics haven't been there two straight years? I mean, the Knicks might be in the finals, where there'll be a speed bump against whoever they play, the Thunder or the Spurs.
Spurs in three.
Like, they'll get smoked by either of those teams.
Yep.
But they might represent the East and back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. Why? Why are they there while you're at home the last couple of years? I don't think it's the talent. I think it's the way they play. I think they know how to play.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Celtics know how to play. And I think that's kind of the big issue or difference between these two teams.
Now, because they haven't broken through overall, right? They haven't won an NBA championship like the Celtics have. Do you think the Knicks, if they either somehow lose this series or get smoked in the Western Conference Finals,
do you think they say, well, we're close, let's run it back? Or do they get into the Giannis thing and do they end up blowing up this sort of like good chemistry to try to shoot for more talent?
I would hope for their sake they avoid the Giannis thing, but it's New York. I bet they get sucked into it.
I bet they kind of have to. I mean, you saw last year how far they went and they decided to fire their coach. So if they get to the same or even one round further, but it's not a competitive series, it might be tough to be like, hey, let's just run it back with the same guys. Like they might feel the pressure to go after somebody like Giannis. Curtis, good morning.
So the beef with Stephen A. has moved to Nick Wright. And yesterday he posted a video where he said, quote, there's a lot of Stephen A. that I think is admirable and young people can learn from. Wait for it. But these last few years where he has convinced himself, it appears, that we the commentariat, which I didn't.
What?
I
mean, what is this, Chris Gasper?
I know. There's a did not know that word existed. We the critics, we the people who give opinions on the actual games are equal stars and of equal importance to the people who are playing the actual games is delusional. And I thought he made a bunch of good points. However, if you were to walk through the O'Hare Airport and you had Stephen A. and Jaylen Brown, I believe more people would recognize Stephen A.
Mm.
And what Stephen A. has built initially with Skip Bayless is the entire genre of debate TV in which Nick Wright earns a living. Mm-hmm. He was trailblazing in many ways, both as an African-American columnist in major cities, then as an African-American pontificator on TV. And I do believe that he has a massive ego. Of course, Stephen A. Smith has a massive ego. But in this case, the main point that I have had is that Jaylen Brown is only making Stephen A. bigger. In all of these videos, remove whatever you think he meant. Tara Sullivan actually has a pretty good column on this with the Globe today where she says when Jaylen Brown is talking about it being his favorite season, she truly believes it's because of people like Stephen A. Smith that said he couldn't do it, that it was more the doubters than Tatum. And I don't know if I believe that 100%, but it was very well articulated that may have been what he was intending to say and why he was so angry by how people like myself and Stephen A. and you and everybody else took it.
Well, I would say do what? Have a great regular season? Yeah, okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Right. But anyway, I just think like if your goal is to shut up Stephen A. Smith, then I wouldn't talk about him constantly.
Do you think his goal is actually to shut up Stephen A. Smith, or do you think that it's possible Jaylen Brown really enjoys this feud?
I think that if he enjoys the feud, then he should stop acting like a victim about what they're saying.
Yeah, I don't see any indications that Jaylen feels like this is bad for him. If anything, it's bringing more attention to what's kind of like a side hustle, mm-hmm. a passion project, which is his live streaming.
Yeah. But he said he wants him to shut up and get fired.
I know, but I feel like he's saying that to kind of provoke him.
He didn't say
like,
fired. We got to stop that. He said,
well, by saying shut up and stop, you know, using your platform this way.
No, he said, I'll stop when you retire or you quit. Like you didn't say when you get fired. Like there's a difference.
So that's a quid pro quo. I'll stop if you stop.
Yeah, but that's a massive difference. Like what Brad Marchand said about Rich Keefe was like he should be fired. What Jaylen Brown is saying, all right, I'll stop this when you stop doing what you're doing, whether you retire or you quit. Like there's a difference when you say.
Yeah, but that was a pivot by Jaylen Brown because he was trying to put it in the form of Stephen A. Smith saying he shouldn't be on Twitch, which Stephen A. Smith, mm-hmm. I don't think, was saying. He was saying, don't go to Twitch
right.
less than 24 hours
right.
after a massive choke job and start whining about the refs and mm-hmm. Joel Embiid flopping.
And I love how Wiggy goes like parsing through words about not wanting him fired.
It's not parsing through words. It's what he said.
What? No,
no, it's exactly what he said.
Okay, so
stop using words that he never said.
Okay, so what?
There's a major difference when you say, he wants him to get fired.
Okay.
And he never said that.
My turn. When you say that Stephen A. Smith is insinuating that he wants him to, quote, shut up and dribble,
yeah.
that insinuates he's talking about social issues. That is the only reason shut up and dribble.
I know, it doesn't insinuate social issues.
Of course it does.
You took it that way.
The birthplace of shut up and dribble is what?
What do you mean was...
What was the origin of shut up
and
dribble?
Yeah, I know what the birthplace is. All right, so how about this? If it's not shut up and dribble, basically stay in your lane.
Well, I don't think LeVar Ball needs to get dragged into this.
No, but that the point had nothing to do with social issues. It's just he's like, hey, you need to stop talking.
Wiggy, you said, and I don't know, it's your experience, that Black Twitter views Stephen A. as a guy that attacks people that are not people that fall in line. And
he attacks Black athletes, whether they're male or female.
Right. And so what I think Stephen
That's
A.
That's the fact.
Right. And what I think Stephen A. was saying, while I don't think he's the right messenger, given their back and forth in the past, was a reality that Jaylen Brown was doing himself no favors.
I agree with some what the Stephen A. Smith, like, okay, to what Greg said, you just lost 3-1, being up 3-1 in the series. You just lost this. Hey, you might want to take a different approach, but there's a way to say that. If you want to say, go and say, Jaylen, listen, if you're going to talk, how do you go on your platform after blowing a 3-1 lead?
Yeah.
Like, those things.
But he could go on the platform and say, listen, I really enjoyed the regular season. Right. Unfortunately, we blew it. We choked.
Right. That's
like, it's embarrassing. It's not what the storied franchise does.
Right.
It's that, like, he could do that.
And you I and I agree on that.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to rain on his favorite season parade,
mm-hmm.
but in hindsight, wasn't that whole thing a bit of fool's gold, to borrow Cam Newton's term? Because they were 3-11 in the regular season against the good teams.
Brad Stevens feels that way. He cited that at his press conference at the end of the year.
Like, when you're bragging about that, it's really, in hindsight, I don't know that it's something to really brag about. It was, we all got caught up in it and excited about it.
Right.
You, Adam, the best team in the conference.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
And I think the difference, to Curtis's point, between what you heard from Jaylen post-game and then doubling down 24 hours later on his stream, and Brad Stevens in his end-of-the-season press conference, like, Stevens was pissed off. Mm-hmm. He was very unhappy and called that out, that exact stat, and said, like, the regular season, we were looking at the teams we were playing who were playing for draft position, who were tanking during the regular season. That's not what it's about.
Yeah. All right. Good lead, Curtis. Thank you very much.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
How would you describe yourself? Fun? Sporty? Bold? If that's the case, meet the Kia K4 Hatchback, made for motion, adventure, and whatever you might decide to bring along. Or would you say you're more smooth, sleek, refined? If so, there's the Kia K4 Sedan. Calm, confident, and ever so modern. Two personalities, two available turbocharged ways forward. The Kia K4 GT Line Turbo and the K4 Hatchback GT Line Turbo. What turbos you? Turbo is available on select K4 trims.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
For 2026,
Toyota is the best resale value brand according to Kelley Blue Book. With the Tacoma, Tundra, and 4Runner named the top three for resale value above all vehicles by KBB. And with special financing available at your local Toyota dealer, you can enjoy affordability today. While great resale value can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.